All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the day, and thank you again for your mercies being new every morning. And Lord, they must be new every morning. Else, if you ever removed your mercy from us, then we would certainly know immediately the size of thy wrath and the fullness of thy wrath. But thy mercies are new every morning, thy faithfulness to all generations. And Lord, we do have to confess, and it is our joy to do that, that mercy comes to us in the name of Jesus. Thine only begotten and beloved Son, and we just ask for more grace that we might worship you more and more through him. But thank you for the opportunity that you've given us today to be here and to be together and to again sing your praise and meditate in your word and to give thanks in our prayers and supplications also. Just to be pleased to bless us more and more as we go through this day. Now, Father, we do pray for your blessings upon the Word. Attune our hearts to that Word. It is life to your people. It is joy to your people. It is goodness to your people. Lord, it is the measure of our salvation. And we just pray and trust that you will open it up to us and cause us to think upon it, to meditate in it, and to be obedient to it with all the love of Jesus and his Spirit. Again, we just are grateful and thankful for all that has transpired in these last few days, and indeed really all of our lives. But Lord, the last few days have been very critical for us in many ways, and we thank you that you have answered prayers, and in your mercy you have given unto us joy and pleasure in the salvation that is afforded to us through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So remember those that are not with us today. Lord, heal their diseases, both spiritually and materially, physically. Lord, we just trust that they will be well again, and that they will be able to attend the services, and that we might be able to enjoy the fellowship one with another in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bless us then, and we shall be blessed. I love to think about those things that are so certain and so sure. So bless, and we shall be blessed. How can it be otherwise? Heal us, and we shall be healed, and Lord, save us, and we shall be saved. You are able to save to the uttermost all them that come to you by Christ Jesus. And it is in his name that we come and we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Bruce, you come this morning. What's on your mind?
Better than far.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've got two books in mind to read when I finish the one that I was going to finish last night. I'll finish it today. Between that and ironing shirts, and believe me, those shirts have been there 3 weeks or so, so that'll probably be another 3 weeks. But the book, the other book I had in mind is Heart Treasure by a guy named Oliver Haywood. Heart Treasure. And, you know, here lately I've read several books, and it's amazing how often they refer to our heart. And the scripture says, and Jesus is the one who said this, says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. And, you know, our heart, you can equate it with your soul. Now, this message that I have this morning came about because I'm currently reading a book called The Lord Our Righteousness. Very interesting book. And, of course, you can see what the title is about. That's a phrase out of Jeremiah. And it's in there twice. It refers to Jesus Christ. It also refers to the church, which I did not know before. But in that book, he talks an awful, awful lot about justification and about faith. And they all are so connected. You really, it's like talking about the truth and talking about the word. You cannot really separate them. However, in reading that book, there was a phrase that kept coming up. And so the other day when I was at work, and at work I have downloaded eSword on there. And so I've spent some time and downloaded all kinds of phrases. And I'll tell you, if you don't have eSword on your computer, I highly recommend it. It's an absolute wonderful tool. And on your phone, Blue Letter Bible is an app that is absolutely excellent. I use it all the time. At any rate, so at work, the phrase that I downloaded, actually I didn't download all of them, but it's the phrase according to. According to. Now, a very simple phrase, actually. And it's found, though, 651 times in the entire Bible. Now, I wasn't going to read all of those. I didn't download all those. I limited it to the New Testament scriptures. And basically, what it means is agreeing to or harmonizing with something. So there's always two parts to it. It's agreeing this with this. And we'll start off with, let's go to Acts. Go to Acts 13. And I really have prayed that this would be a blessing to all of us. And one aspect that comes out is the sovereignty of God. That God is God, and He brings about these things for His purpose. And that's another word I would like to do a study on. In fact, I haven't really... It's just by the grace of God that when Brother Paul called me, I already had this out. And but my intent was to study this more thorough than I have, because it's so interesting what I discovered just in glimpsing over it. And you'll see, we'll go through. I can't go through all of these verses. I'm not sure even how many there are, except, gosh, there's got to be almost 9 pages here of Scripture just in the New Testament. At any rate, so let's go to Acts 13. And we'll start with, and in this chapter, it's the Apostle Paul is preaching. Let me go to verse 20. Start with 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. Of course, he was talking about Paul or Saul initially, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised up unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now you notice in verse 23, according to his promise. God has made promises. And all the promises that God has made find themselves in Jesus Christ. So what promise is he talking about here? And if God promised something, you know it is going to come to pass. And this is an important promise. And again, according to his promise. And we're going to read so many phrases like that, that you can count on it. It is going to happen. Now this promise that he's talking about is back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. And you know the story of Abraham. The flood had happened, and the earth had been populated again. And God calls this man out from his country to lead him somewhere. So it's Genesis 12, begin with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And here comes the promise. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. It's coming to pass today. It began that day. And it's still coming to pass. That very promise. It's the promise of God. Now, it's also in chapter 13, beginning in verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. In other words, look all around you. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. So he's continuing on with this promise. He's just really making it again.
Right.
Now, I like verse 15, Genesis. I'm going to read verse 1. It's kind of pertinent to what we're talking about. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's true for all of God's people today. That's why I love that verse. He's our shield and our exceeding great reward. Now, drop down to verse 6. Now, you know, Abram was old, didn't have any sons at this time. But yet God has made this promise to him. And then in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now it's interesting, Abram believed the Lord. He believed him. Now believing really isn't, there's a lot of people, the devils believe and tremble.
Right.
So that belief didn't really get them anywhere. But in this case, this believing is his faith. And it was counted to him for righteousness. That's the first time that word appears in the scriptures. And we hear it all the time here. And we read it all the time. And again, this book that I was reading, The Lord Our Righteousness. And I think about this almost every time we come across that word or it's mentioned in a sermon. Righteousness means purity of heart and rectitude of life. And that certainly describes our God. Pure in heart. It's pure. Think about that. Pure. And a life in accordance with the divine commandments, which naturally, God can't be anything other than a holy, righteous God. And that should be comforting to us for all that goes on in the world. Now, I have to admit, as I was going through these verses, I get a little carried away. Simply because there's so much to what God says in His Word, and it's so interconnected, you cannot really separate. That's why we have this entire Bible. You could take any verse and connect it to every other verse in the Scriptures. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. And I am skipping over an awful lot of what some of these other verses, but a number of times you'll see according to the law of God, or according to the flesh, according to the scriptures. I gave a message a while back on the witness of the word within itself, and that was partially one of those witnesses according to the scriptures. And again, you know, there's a book that's published by some Puritan that talks about, I haven't bought it, I think about it from time to time, but that's what it's talking about, is the witness of the Word within itself, how it validates itself. Which made me think this morning, what other book is there where you would do a word search within that book, or a phrase search within that book? I don't know of any. I don't know if people, maybe they do it with the Quran. But what other book would people do it with? I don't think there's any other book, but with the Word of God. It's valuable. It helps us to understand this book. And that's why I love doing it. I've got a lot of these at the house. I've had them for years. And I like to read them. I mean, it just really helps you understand the scriptures more. Romans. We'll go to verse 18. And again, this is talking about Abraham. When that promise was made to Abraham, Abraham was an old man. He's older than anybody in this room. And God's telling him, you're going to have a son. And Abraham, thinking about his age, he's thinking about Sarah. But he believed God. He believed God. So verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, and again, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This is our reference, according to what the scriptures say. That's what we believe. I've known people, several, who would tell me about an experience that they had. And it doesn't match anything I read in the scriptures. And they get upset with me. In fact, I know one cast me off because I tell them, I quote Isaiah 8:20, according to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. It's such an important verse. It's such a simple verse. And especially in our day when you have all, you hear all kinds of things. Well, you know, if somebody went to heaven and talked with God and talked with Jesus, or somebody spent some time in hell, and no, it's not true. Why isn't it true? Well, the scripture says, if it's not according to this word, and there's nothing like that in the word. Now, there's the parable, there's the account given in Luke 16. And Jesus is the one who told about that. He didn't come back to the earth. He's speaking from hell. Whether it's a parable or not doesn't really make a difference. I'll put people on both sides of that. Let's go to chapter 8 in Romans. Begin in verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then, of course, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Wow. According to the will of God. I mean, if something's according to the will of God, it's going to be good. And it's going to happen. It's God's will. And that's one thing, you know, with these people that embrace the free will of man. Well, okay. What about God's free will? What if God's free will doesn't match your free will?
Yeah.
Or why are you praying to God to save somebody if it's the person's free will and not God's?
Right.
And then, of course, the end of verse 28. According to his purpose. Now, you know, as I thought about this last night and was thinking about it this morning, there's another word search that I would like to do. The purpose of God. God has a purpose. Now, you hear people say, you know, God has a purpose for your life and that it's going to be good. Smile, God has a purpose for your life. Well, he does, but it might not be good. But if God has a purpose, it was determined prior to time. It's going to manifest itself in time. And that's true for a lot of these things, the will of God. God had that will prior to time. We don't know what this day holds forth. Except for right now, we know we're here. We're here by the divine providence of God. What's going to happen later this afternoon? We don't know. It's whatever God has purposed. Chapter 9 in Romans. And this is what we certainly know all. We know this. I mean, when you talk about the glory of God and the purpose of God. Verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. I remember the first time I read, well, not the first time I read that verse, but the first time I read it with a certain understanding. And it goes against what the natural man would think. It goes against, pardon? It goes against reason. But time and time we see it in the scriptures. And of course here we, you know, Jacob and Esau. That the purpose of God according to election. People have a big problem with that word election and predestination. And yet, not only are they scriptural, but here it's talking the purpose of God according to election. And it is interesting to think about these things that happened in eternity when God only existed and nothing else. And these things were determined. How interesting is that? I think about that a lot. Because it goes back to God. It's God is God. There's no one like him. There's nothing like him. And those who are in Christ, when they cross the Jordan River, are going to be with him forever and ever. And ever. I my mind just goes when I start thinking about that. There in verse 11, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. What's interesting is this phrase according to is in Revelation 5 times. 4 times, the first 4 times that it's brought up, it's talking about the works of men. And it's talking about those who are going to be judged for their works, according to their works. Works do have a place in the scriptures, of course, and in the life of a believer. Works are not your righteousness, not your own righteousness. The righteousness you have comes from Christ. He is righteous. And that gets imputed to us. And you can say it's inherent in us, yes. But it's from him. It's not your own. Your own righteousness is a filthy rag. Right. And all the things we do, in fact, it was kind of mentioned earlier. Whatever you do for God is what is your reasonable service. And that's going to be, it's not totally righteous. Because we're not. We're surrounded by flesh, which sins. We have the Spirit of God in us, who is holy and who is righteous. But we're not completely righteous.
Flesh certainly isn't.
No, right. The flesh isn't.
Like it's just the opposite. It's totally. It's
And a lot of what people do is according to the flesh. Which doesn't just mean, I mean, your mind, your thoughts, that's of the flesh. And it's a battle. I hope it's a battle. If you're not battling, then there's something going on. Or not going on. The flesh is our enemy. I mean, we like to take care of it. We like to be well. We like comfort. Nothing wrong with any of those. But it's the spirit. It's the spiritual things. Brother Paul and I were talking about it this morning. So many people, they don't think spiritually because they're not spiritually. They don't understand. It's like, who can really understand? God is a spirit. You cannot measure Him. And yet all this came out from Him. It's amazing to me. It's just utterly amazing. Let's go to the 16th chapter of Romans. And we'll go to verse 25. Getting to the end of that chapter. The end of that book, actually. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, how interesting is that? That God kept a secret until this time. Till after the time of Christ.
Right.
And how important is that to us today? I praise God that the gospel went out of Israel to the rest of the world. That's what he's talking about. And think about these people in the Amazon jungles of Brazil. What they call the uncontacted. Who don't have the gospel. For thousands of years, people have been there, generation after generation, and the gospel was not taken to them. But it has been revealed to us. And not for any good or anything righteous in us, but according to the election of God. I mean, it's just utterly amazing, and hopefully what it does is give us a greater desire to know more about God and to love Him for what He has done in our life. And He has done it. It's His work. His work. Okay. You know, Ephesians is such an amazing book. And I can't remember. I didn't actually count them. But almost every chapter has this phrase in it. So, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. And again, this glory goes to God. This is of God. These verses make it clear. it is of God. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. That predestination happened before time. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, that's redemption. We had to be redeemed. You know, we were separated from God because of our sins. Something had to happen, and it did. It's all because of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. According to the riches of His grace. Now, you know, one day I hope to study more on that word, grace. Do I pass it? Not quite. Grace Church over there on 249. Grace Community Church. But look at, and then in Ephesians 3:16 uses the phrase according to the riches of His glory. Verse 7 is the riches of His grace. The riches of His glory. How interesting is that? What's the difference between those two? I mean, the glory, we talked about, well, Brother Paul talked about it last Lord's Day. And every time I see the word glory, I always think about Moses being in the cleft of the rock. And God showed him His glory, His goodness. His and Romans brings it out a little bit more. His sovereignty. God is God. And if that's true, and it is, He is sovereign. That's His glory. It is. It thrills me to think about that. Verse 9 in Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 9, according to His good pleasure again. God has a pleasure. It delights Him to save sinners. And I'm glad, because I've been a sinner my whole life for 22 years. That's all I did. I still sin, but now I'm a saint that sins. And I hate it, and it bothers me, and it makes me wonder. But I go back to justification and the righteousness of Christ. You have to have that righteousness of Christ. You can't be before God and be unrighteous. And you can't do anything of yourself to be righteous. In fact, that was the problem with Israel. They wanted to do it their way. And that was before Frank Sinatra sang his song. Well, you're right about that. Absolutely right about that. We were close to Ephesians 1:11. I've got to hurry up here. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God. Well, here, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Not our will, His will. And His will is righteous, holy. There's nothing, it can't ever be anything other than that.
Right.
I mean, that, you know, that's a real simple truth. One that people do debate to some extent because of the sin that they see and the things that happen to people who are innocent. Nobody is. Jesus was. There was a time when Adam and Eve were. I don't think it lasted very long. And Ephesians 3:11. This is a verse that I've really pondered about. I think I used it in a message some years back. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the only time that phrase eternal purpose occurs in Scripture. The only time. And it struck me some years back when I read in Titus 1, chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Well, God is eternal. He was going to share that. He's sharing that quality, that attribute with somebody out of Himself. It's us. Is that the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus? I think it is. I think it is. All the promises find themselves and end, begin and end in Jesus Christ. And finally, Ephesians 3:20. And I haven't covered half of these. There'd be a whole lot more of it. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Even think. According to the power that worketh in us. You know, and what is that power? It has to be. And see, I think about grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's why I have, you know, there's so much that a person can dwell on, think about, until we cross that river. And then I know we will have a whole lot more knowledge and revelation. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be glorious because it's going to be with God. Let's see if there's... I have more that I... according to His mercy, He saved us. That's the way, you know, I mean, it just, oh, let me read this one. Let me read this one. Especially right now, I mean, JT's been afflicted, still is, Betty's afflicted, Sister Dorothy's afflicted, Sister Joyce is afflicted, I've got mine. I mean, this is out of 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. And often that's my prayer for these. It's like Brother Marvin. He was laid low for a long time as a brother in the Lord. And I would, after a while, you think, you know, it doesn't appear he's going to ever leave that bed. But what is greater than to have peace? Peace with God. And to be comfortable as much as you can be. But if you have peace with God in your affliction, then what's better?
Right. You have eternal hope.
Well, absolutely.
Can't think too much about those things, can you?
Pardon?
I said you can't think too much about those kind of things.
No.
I mean, it more and more occupies our minds, occupies our hearts, occupies our lives, that because God is our life. Christ is our life. The Holy Ghost is our life.
But to me, the more you read God's Word and delve into what He said in His Word, you will be in that position.
Yes, absolutely. And the purpose, I mean, that plays into my prayers a lot. To pray for the purpose of God to be fulfilled in my life, in the church, life of the church, this one, and in the church in general. I'm talking about the universal church, the true church of
sure.
All the people of God,
sure.
To have that purpose fulfilled, and that purpose is to be conformed to the image of His Son, of Jesus.
Right.
What a wonderful thought that is, that to be in the image of God. Wow. I mean, what can you say to something like that?
Most people think physically when they think about that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they do, but that's not what we're talking about.
No, and they won't get very far thinking that way either.
No, they won't. But the image that we're looking for is that perfect righteousness that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that came into this sin-filled world, this world that the Holy Ghost inspired John to say was the whole world lieth in wickedness. I mean, to come into this world with all of its temptations, its trials, its tribulations, it's just pure evil, and yet never, ever even come close to committing a sin.
Right. As a matter of fact, the very first time that phrase "according to" is used, it's with Herod. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew. I mean, here's how much he hated the fact that his position was being threatened.
He thought.
And slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Just like Haman.
Yeah.
Haman hated Mordecai so much. He killed millions of people. Now, I don't know how many people Herod killed, but
yeah.
They were babies.
Yeah.
And he didn't care.
No.
Then Jesus came into
that. Yeah, came into that. It's just more amazing, and the further we go along, and it's supposed to be that way.
Yes.
That's the whole intent of us meeting and meditating in God's Word and even the singing of the hymns. There's lessons to be taught in there, and of course the prayers. So thank God that He has called us unto Himself out of darkness, total, absolute darkness, and translated us into His kingdom, which is a kingdom of absolute, total light. In Him there is no darkness at all. All right, good thoughts, and trust again that they are very, very profitable to us.